Welcome, everyone, to a special episode of the iPhone Podcast. Today is our special fourth episode to go over an amazing day today, which was the 2010 Worldwide Developer Conference, where Steve Jobs has announced the latest iPhone, the iPhone 4. We here at the iPhone Podcast, we like to do things with a special little twist, so we purposely tied our fourth podcast to coincide with the announcement of the iPhone 4. How about that, Justin?
Amazing. I'm glad we scheduled it that way.
That's right. So for those who are listening in, this is actually going to be a special episode just to go over the iPhone 4, all of the features, any sort of tidbits that we've noticed today. Our regular iPhone podcast that has our iPhone news of the week, iPad news, including iPhone and iPad app reviews, that will stay on schedule. So expect another iPhone podcast episode to come out later this week. But today, the topic of the hour is the one and the only iPhone 4. At the Worldwide Developer Conference today, Steve Jobs announced right off the bat that the company has been really successful. They've sold about 100 million quote-unquote iDevices so far. What do you think about that, Justin?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and that coincides with them changing the name of the OS to the iOS, so you can tell they're moving forward with a whole new class of devices where the iPhone and the iPad and the iPod Touch are all going to be part of that format.
That's right. So let's just jump over to, let's go right to the iPhone. Steve went on stage here and he basically talked about something that you've never seen, and boom, he called it iPhone 4. Now, a lot of us thought, you know, the name was going to be the iPhone 4G or the iPhone HD, but it's now called the iPhone 4.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that it wasn't. I didn't think it was going to be called iPhone HD because that leads to some confusion because the screen isn't really HD. And I knew it wouldn't be iPhone 4G because that would confuse with the network and it's not a 4G phone. But I didn't expect it just to be iPhone 4, but I actually think it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's simple and it definitely sounds nice, and it's the fourth iPhone, so it keeps it simple. Now let's just go over some of the features of the iPhone 4 that everyone's been talking about. One of the first features, the biggest feature that Steve announced with his patented one more thing, is the FaceTime feature. The iPhone has two cameras, one on the back, one on the front, and now there is the ability to have almost like an iChat video calling with friends on the other line. Once you know that another person has the iPhone 4, you just tap one button and you start a chat.
Yeah, I think we're both on record as saying we didn't care about this feature at all, but I can tell you I've changed my mind a little bit after seeing it. Leave it to Apple to do it better than anyone else. It's amazing that you can just call somebody as a regular call. It's going to sense if they're on an iPhone running iPhone 4, and you just hit one button and there you go, you have video. And the other thing that's really neat is if you change it from portrait to landscape, it just goes with the flow, and you can click one little button, one little part of the screen to switch to the back camera. So you can be showing the person what you're seeing on the other side of the camera. So I don't think people were expecting that. So I guess it shouldn't surprise us that if Apple's going to do it, they're going to find a new unique way of doing it, but it definitely looks very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all, like I said, we were sort of hesitant to talk about doing video calling, but I think when you do have friends that will have the iPhone 4, it's definitely a feature that you just have to use because it's just so easy to do. You tap one button and boom, you're in a call. To go on about FaceTime, Apple also has a pretty sort of dramatic commercial on their website showcasing what sort of scenarios and situations where FaceTime would come into effect. I'm not sure if you saw the commercial already, Justin, but one of the scenes, it talks about a father who's on business and he's talking to his newborn child There's another one with a couple that they're using FaceTime to communicate using sign language. So definitely some really innovative ideas for people to use video calling, which hasn't really picked up before.
I wonder if that, I just thought of this now, I wonder if that's the video that they brought in that Sam Mendes to direct, because it was a pretty powerful video. I'll admit that I was almost getting a little choked up at the end when they show the soldier off in Iraq or wherever he is, and he's seeing the ultrasound for the first time. I mean, Apple knows how to present this stuff. It's a pretty amazing video.
Yeah, I think that was actually the Sam Mendes video, and one of the stars of Glee was actually featured in that commercial. So at Apple, once again, coming out with a pretty intense commercial to showcase one of their, I guess, their new feature, FaceTime. Let's move on to another feature of the newest iPhone. It's what Apple has called the Retina Display. The Retina Display basically is Apple's talk on their newest display, which shows that the display's pixel density is now higher, and you can now see images and videos that's so sharp, it's almost like looking at paper.
Yeah, I don't think most people are going to understand what this screen is like until people see it. Of course, I haven't seen it yet, but everybody who was there and has seen it is just raving about it. It's really geeky to try to get in the technology, but not only is it double resolution, but they're doing something with the pixels that's different. They've done something new with the screen where the LCD and the glass, there's no space in between. It's some new manufacturing process. So John Gruber was describing it as no longer like you're looking at the text under a piece of glass. It's almost like the writing or whatever you're looking at is painted right onto the glass. It's supposedly amazing to see.
Yeah, and to add more on that, that's also going to get rid of that issue where I've had to deal with getting dust underneath my LCD and onto the iPhone screen. In that main iPhone 4 sort of commercial that you'll see on the Apple website, it shows the manufacturing process, and it shows, you know, the factory and the machines working on the screens and whatnot. The 4 Retina display uses in-plane switching, which is the same technology that they use in the iPad and the LED cinema display. This gives you a better viewing angle. So basically you can hold the iPhone or where you want it and you can still see it. They also talked about better contrast ratio. So, you know, for those people who are big TV fans, you know how big of a impact that the contrast ratio can have. Also, basically, what it comes down to is the retina display has a pixels per inch of 326 pixels per inch, which is pretty incredible for those who are into the pixels and whatnot. Once again, Justin, there is the oleophobic coating on the screen.
Yeah, I don't know how much that's going to help, because I don't know. I remember when the 3GS came out, everybody said how good it was, and then there was some reports of it rubbing off, and one guy I remember even had a picture of it all looking like partially worn off. I swore it worked perfect when I got it and doesn't exist now, so I think I've somehow rubbed it off on my whole phone, but you can't tell that it's been rubbed off. But it doesn't, either I'm so used to it now, my mind's playing tricks on me, but my 3GS is bad now again, so it almost seems like it wears off. But I'm excited to see the screen, because I know a lot of people, a lot of the tech gurus and press out there are really obsessed with the whole OLED screen now, and kept saying that that's where Google had it over Apple. And most of those people have said today that this just blows away anything they've seen on a phone. So it seems like Apple's right back in the driver's seat when it comes to the screen.
Right. That's, yeah, for sure. I mean, with the oleophobic coating, like you said, when I first got my 3GS, my fingers were sort of greasy and whatnot. It didn't really appear, but after a while, you started seeing the regular fingerprints that would come back. But, I mean, my iPhone is has the invisible shield on it, so, that the oleophobic coating doesn't really come into play for me. Okay, let's talk about another huge feature. We talked about the FaceTime feature for calling. Let's talk about the high-definition video recording and editing on the iPhone. Now you'll be able to shoot movies in high definition, right on the iPhone. We're talking 720p, 30 frames per second videos. You can edit them and share them right on the iPhone, all in high def.
Yeah, that might be the thing I was most excited about. I thought it was pretty cool when it was 720. I think the video on the 3GS is amazing, so any improvement is welcome, but it was already good. But then when I saw that iMovie and how easy... I think the part that blew me away the most was when he showed you're in the timeline and you're editing a video that you can actually go grab something live to put it right in a certain spot. So instead of having to go find a video because you're trying to edit something together, you could actually be putting the video together and go, oh, I didn't get a shot of this. Go right to live, record it, boom, right into the part where you're wanting to edit. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And having iMovie made for the iPhone, that's pretty sweet too. But the only issue that is linked to this is, I know we're sort of jumping ahead, but is the capacity of the new iPhone 4. They're still sticking to the 16 gigabyte and the 32 gigabyte models, which kind of baffles me, because once you start recording in the 720p, 30 frames per second videos, I mean, those videos take up a lot of space. I mean, if you throw in your MP3s, your apps, your videos, your movies, your songs, whatever else you may have, I mean, your iPhone is going to run out of space very quickly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I've never really had a space issue. I've always had the smallest iPhone. I started out with the 8 gig. Now I have the 16 gig. And my philosophy has always been, no matter what size they make this thing, I can't fit all my stuff on it. So if I'm going to be syncing it to iTunes every day, I always just keep 2 or 3 gigs, 4 gigs worth of music, change it up all the time. And that's always left me plenty of room for video. But like you said, now that it's 720, you're going to probably want the 32 gig, and it's certainly not going to be something where you're going to be going out and shooting video days on end. You're going to have to dump it down each time. And if you are somewhere where you're out really trying to do something serious, you may even have to have your MacBook right there with you and be syncing that back to the phone and getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Also, part of the new cameras, the camera on the back can film in high def. There's also a camera on the front, which is a VGA quality camera. Also, when you're filming video, you can now tap to focus. So this will give you lots of focusing effects that you know will definitely enhance any videos that you like to take. Also, Apple has introduced an LED flash on the back, which a lot of people have been waiting for. It'll be definitely interesting to see how well the flash performs. If you have seen the pictures that Apple has supplied on their website, they show unedited pictures taken with the flash, and this new 5-megapixel camera, from what I've seen, it definitely, the pictures look great. Steve talked about it's not all about megapixels. It's about trying to come up with better picture quality with what you have.
Exactly. I was about to mention that. Steve went out of his way to say, hey, we don't just bump up the megapixels. I don't understand all the technology, but he said something about a lot of people get more megapixels by making them smaller. They have the same as the iPhone 3GS size-wise, and then added more. And then he talked about the lens and various things. So again, people who have seen the output close up there were impressed. And then, like you said, if you look at those photos on the website, it's certainly a nice camera. I personally, that's all I need. I use my 3GS now, and I'm excited to have that because I don't normally carry any kind of other camera. So the fact that the camera in my phone just keeps getting this much better all the time, it's exciting.
Yeah. And another thing with a camera now is that every time you take a picture, it geotags your images. So whenever you're looking at your pictures and photos now, I think this was talked about on iPhone iOS 4, where now you can have the ability to check all your pictures by location. There's also the faces feature from iPhoto built right in. So if you want to look at pictures by certain people, you can identify them with faces.
Yeah, it's, you can just see they keep moving more and more to that stuff, and it's integrated with iPhoto and the Mac. They're really getting a great system. People complain that Apple wants to keep you in their ecosystem, but if you are trapped in there, it sure is a good experience.
Right on. Here's another feature that's part of iOS 4 that was folders. I mean, this is much anticipated, having folders. I know a lot of people out there have so many apps. Folders lets you easily organize your apps into folders. All you got to do is just tap so that your apps will wiggle. You drag it over to another app. it comes up with the same title as the app name, and you can have all these apps into folders. According to calculations, you can have up to 180 folders on your iPhone, and each folder can hold up to 12 apps. So if you do a quick math there, that means you can have up to 2,160 apps organized on your iPhone at any time. Which, in my mind, if you do have 2,100 apps on your iPhone, you are crazy.
Yeah, but I that is my most anticipated feature, because I now always have at least 9 or 10 pages of apps, and it has got a little tedious to be flipping 8 screens to try to get to something. I used to always think, oh, there's only this. I keep all the stuff I really use on the first 2 pages, but I've gone over to the, like, I have at least 5 or 6 pages of pretty valuable apps. I don't have 2,000, but I am a little nuts when it comes to the app. So I'm looking very forward to the folders.
Yeah. And now that we're sort of talking about folders, let's move on to another feature from iOS 4, which was the mail feature. Now you have a unified inbox. There's also email threading. On the Apple website, there was an image on one of the mail pages that talked about, when the menu came up, it said open in Keynote. So there's been rumors that iWork is going to be coming to the App Store for the iPhone, because right now we have iMovie. And I mean, what do you think about that? iWork for the iPhone.
I think it'll be coming. It just makes sense. They're putting over the iMovie, the iBooks. Who knows, it might be a different version, it might be set up more. I could see it being maybe even geared just for reading the documents, but I mean, there's already apps right now that do a fairly good job of letting you read and do some basic editing, so it'd be crazy for Apple not to make a universal application that changed its format when you viewed it on the iPhone so you could make quick edits or view it. So yeah, I think that's coming, and it'll be handy.
Yeah, so I mean, most of these new iOS 4 features are available with the Gold Master candidate, which is available today for developers. Apple has also, this is sort of, it's not really breaking news, but this just happened recently, they've actually released Safari 5 with Safari Reader and extensions, along with Bing Search as an option. It's now available for download.
Well, I looked right before we started recording and I couldn't get it yet, so I'm glad it's out. I can't wait to try it out. And I don't know if a lot of people even understand what you mean by that reader feature, but I use Instapaper, or there's another plugin called Readability, and I live on that. If you haven't tried that yet, when Safari 5 comes out, you're going to love it, because you just know when you're reading a long blog post, and every blog, including ours, has all kinds of advertising and everything, which is fine for short posts, but sometimes it can get in the way when you're reading this really long thing. So if you use this Readability, what it'll do is it'll give you a nice font with a white background and remove a lot of those other items, and you just read it like a book. And I always use those plugins when I'm reading something that's more than a few paragraphs.
Right on. Yeah, another thing that was part of the WWDC announcement today was Jobs went right out to announce that Bing is now going to be an option as one of the search options in mobile Safari. I think this is just, I mean, he actually had 3 iPhones loaded up on the screens, and he was basically praising Microsoft and saying, Bing, you know, Bing has done a great job. This is actually pretty cool. So I don't know if this is sort of a jab at Google for all the wars that they've been sort of, you know, trying to dog on Apple. But, like, what do you think about having Bing as an option?
Yeah, we talked about it, I think, last week. To me, it's just good. I think more options, the better. I don't think it's a big news story. If anything was interesting in the keynote was, I thought he'd be harder on Google, to be honest. I think Steve, first with the D8 conference and now what he said today, I think he's trying to rise above it now and say, hey, we're not messing with Google here. We still respect. So now it's almost making Google a look, especially with Google when they did their big keynotes last week or the week before. They took a lot of shots at Apple, and some people like that, and they got some bad press from it. So now for Apple to come out and kind of take the high road, I think it's an interesting strategy that they're trying here.
Right. And I mean, I sort of missed this in the beginning, but just to nobody's surprise, I mean, the iPhone that Gizmodo leaked I guess what's been about a month now, or maybe a few weeks. But anyways, that prototype turned out to be the actual iPhone. And you know, we've all seen the specs, we've all seen the videos, but just it seems that seeing it in as a working model, that totally changes the nature of the phone versus just reading a review on Gizmodo just of some prototype.
Well, yeah, and you were only really seeing the physical. They could never boot it up, so nobody saw the screen. Now, I will say that it being leaked did hurt the reaction a little bit. Like, when he pulled that phone out today, and he even joked, oh, I think some of you have seen this before. Could you imagine what the reaction would have been had we not seen that? It's a pretty radical design change, and it's a really beautiful looking phone. So I do think some of the wonder and the reaction was less because of that leak. But otherwise, like you said, the leak only gave you the basic outside, and I still think the back's a little different. Maybe it's just the way Apple, I mean, their photos are better or whatever, but the back of the phone is actually like glass now too, I believe. So it's that's neat.
Yeah, that's right. The both sides, front and back, it's made out of this really strong glass material that they show in the demo video, where it's stronger than glass, and it can be bent, and it's sort of flexible. And on top of that, we didn't. This is really interesting. That metal frame that we see on the outside of the iPhone, people are saying, "Oh, that's not very Apple-like. What's up with that?" Well, that metal frame actually is the antenna for all of the radios, that which I think is ingenious.
Definitely, and I'm guilty. I was one of those people a couple episodes ago on the podcast. I said I thought those would be gone. It didn't look very Apple-like. And again, you could tell that Steve was reacting to that because I'm not the only person saying that. He went out of his way to say, hey, a lot of people have been asking what these things are. Well, guess what? Here's what they are. And again, another great innovation from Apple.
Yeah, that's a great one. Just to cover another sort of announcement that Apple made, they said they're coming out with an iPhone accessory. It's almost like a case. They're calling them bumpers for iPhone. And what they are, there are six colors: white, black, blue, orange, green, pink, or pink. And what they do is these bumpers, they go around the outside edges of your iPhone 4, but it also leaves space open for the volume buttons and the mute button. So in a way, it's not really a case, but I guess it protects your iPhone from bumping on the side. I don't know. What do you think about these things?
Yeah, I was actually just going to ask you because I heard that announcement, but then I didn't follow it in. So those bumpers are just around the outside and there's nothing on the front or the back?
Nothing on the front or the back. It's just solely on the outside. It's almost like an inner tube for the iPhone, like a fitted
Yeah,
inner
so
tube
what that
type.
tells me is a couple things. That A, that back glass is going to be very similar to the front, where it's going to be almost scratch proof, which will be nice. And I think that's app. I think the stainless steel then probably does, you know, and even on the current phone, it can get a little scratched up. So that's the way to protect that part and to give it a little bit more of a look. I know you and I talked about, and again, in one of the previous episodes, if we'd see a bunch of colors, I think this is Apple's way because it really does give the phone a whole new look with those. I saw the picture with the six different colors. So I think that's way Apple's way of letting people who want different colors sort of have it without it. Them having to produce five or six different phones.
Right. Okay, let's go over something else here. Let's talk about the pricing and the release dates. Apple has stated in the keynote, they talked about how the iPhone pre-order will be available on June 15th in countries that includes the United States, it was Japan, the UK, Germany, and I think France. And one of the big missing ones was Canada. Now, they said pre-order on the 15th, and it's going to be available on June 24th in those countries. And the second batch of countries, that includes Canada, will take place in the, it says, late July.
Yeah, that was the big disappointment of the day for me. I was following the coverage online. I had my MacBook screen divided into two, and I was watching a live Twit Live, their video broadcast on one side, and the GDGT live blog on the other. And the live blog came up first, saying June 24th, and I am a little embarrassed to say, but I will admit I almost jumped out of my seat. I was so excited. I started Twittering and I started texting my friends saying, oh, guess what? It's the 24th. And then I see the slide show up on the next screen with the six countries. And I was like, oh, God, don't tell me they're skipping Canada. Then I thought, oh, no, they just wouldn't even list Canada. We're so insignificant. It's just not listed, but we'll be that date. And then that dreaded second slide came up that showed Canada in the list of July countries. So it's disappointing, but I guess it could be worse. We could be in the September group.
Yeah, that's right. Canada's in a list with other countries such as Australia, Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, Hong Kong, Ireland, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Norway, New Zealand, Singapore, South Korea, Spain, Sweden, and Switzerland. And that's in late July of this summer. Now, we know Apple, there are always delays. We talked about the iPad launch. There was a rumored launch for the iPad in Canada, which was April 24th. But the iPad launch ended up being delayed to May 28th. So we're crossing our fingers here that when Apple says late July, it will come in late July. As for pricing, they announced it was, once again, it was similar pricing to the iPhone 3GS, $199 for the 16 gigabyte model and $299 for the 32 gig model. For those people who are still interested in the 3GS, they have dropped the price to $99.
An amazing phone for $99, but I don't see if you're in the position where you're having to sign a new contract or you're making that decision, I can't see not spending the extra $100 and getting the new phone. And the one thing I wanted to quickly mention about the Canadian release date, there's already several Canadian tech websites / blogs sort of predicting that we may see a further delay like we did for the iPad. My best guess from watching Apple over the years is I don't believe the iPhone will be delayed. They don't tend to do that with the iPhone. There's deals with the carriers and everything else that they have to honor. So my guess is we will see the July release as scheduled, but I believe quantities will be limited and you'll have trouble getting it. So if you're diehard and you want to get it right away, then you're definitely going to want to pre-order if they make that option or head out that day. When I went out for the 3GS, several of my friends were like, oh, you're such a geek, you got to rush out and stand in line and everything. And then for weeks, it might have even been months in Canada, it was hard to get a hold of the 3GS. So I think it'll be the same this time. So if you want one, make sure you're there right away.
Exactly. I mean, if you really want to get this new iPhone, you need to be there and get one. As we heard about the pre-ordering fiasco for iPad owners in Canada, once it gets to the companies such as FedEx that do the deliveries, it's really out of Apple's control. So you will be relying on these companies to make sure that they deliver the phone on time. So if you really want one, it's a good old-fashioned get in line and wait for the iPhone. Now let's talk about carriers in Canada and when the iPhone 4 will come in Canada. Rogers today was actually quick to announce on their Red Board that they confirmed the launch of the iPhone 4. And they said they will be carrying it, but they did not say a specific date. They just said, quote unquote, coming weeks. We also received an email saying that TELUS will also follow suit. And with that being said, I'm pretty sure Bell will follow suit as well.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. Rogers likes to pre-announce announcements. They love to just say, oh yeah, someday you'll hear about it, but we have nothing to say now. I guess it's better than saying nothing, but it would be nice sometimes if they were a little quicker and more concrete with their Apple announcements.
Yeah, the whole issue here for those people who are listening from out of Canada, we have some of the longest contracts, phone contracts in the world. They're 3 years, which sometimes feels like an eternity. So for most people who have purchased an iPhone, let's say an iPhone 3GS last year, and you signed a 3-year contract, by this time around, you're only 1 year in. So it really comes down to how flexible these carriers want to be to let people have an early upgrade for the iPhone.
Yeah, like I was mentioning to you before the podcast, we've been lucky so far in the sense that we signed 3-year deals, but last year they upgraded all of us early adopters after only 1 year. So if they keep doing that, they have me as a customer. Rogers, if you're listening, keep doing this and you're going to keep a lot of us, because if I can pay you $100 a month, which I do, plus my $200 for the new phone every year, you're getting $1,400 from me every month. I will commit that money to you for the rest of my natural life. Just give me the new iPhone every year. You pull something where I can't get it, I will find a way to get out of my contract and I will never deal with you again, and I will go to the U.S. and get a jailbroken phone or something. So if they want to keep us happy, figure out a way to make money by giving us the new phone every year, and I don't care if it's a 20-year contract. I'll sign it as long as I get a new iPhone every year.
I love that. I mean, for me, I'm just sick and tired of these contracts. I've had my own, you know, issues dealing with customer service about, you know, trying to do an early upgrade and all that. It's such a headache. It's the worst possible thing to do, and that's to explain your phone situation to multiple customer service agents, either from Rogers, TELUS, or Bell. So for me, I am just going to be purchasing the iPhone outright. I know it's expensive up front, but it's going to give me the peace of mind and the flexibility that, hey, if I want a new phone, I can get one whenever I want. I don't need to keep on signing these 3-year contracts and renewing my contracts. Like I said in one of my April Fool's Day posts from a while back, Rogers and Bell and TELUS for that matter, they might as well come up with a lifetime contract where they sign you on for the rest of your life, and they probably even your unborn children, they can take up that plan too. I think that'd be a fantastic and popular plan in Canada.
I know you were joking, but I just volunteered it. I will sign a lifetime contract, but I have to have a new iPhone every year. But you're right, it is a pain every time. Believe me, I'm not singing Rogers' praises. They did the right thing last year, but they didn't make it easy. They announced it at the 11th hour, and then the day of, couldn't even figure out how to make it work for most people. So they got to clean that up, but maybe in the long run, your way is better. But if you do that every year, that gets expensive too. So either you do it your way and it's hassle-free, or you do it my way and it saves you a lot of money, but it is a pain. So I guess people have to make that decision.
Exactly. Oh, one more thing, Justin. That is...
You're Steve Jobs
now. I am. iBooks has been announced for the iPhone. How did we miss this? And on top of that, iBooks will now allow you to read PDF files. How about that?
Yeah, actually, I don't believe we missed it, because I think they announced that iBooks was coming to the iPhone a while ago when they first announced it, but they did confirm it today. And then the feature of the nice being able to do PDFs, plus you can buy a book once and sync it to all your devices at no extra charge, and it will sync all your bookmarks and notes. So if you're on the iPad and you're reading a book and you bookmark it or make a note, the next time you launch the iPhone app, you'll get those notes and bookmarks. So that's very nice, and again, makes it a great experience.
Right. And also about the iOS 4, that is going to be available June 21st for free. For all you iPod Touch users out there, Apple is actually going to be letting you download iOS 4 for free if you have a second generation or third generation iPod Touch.
And that's because the other one won't support it. So it's not like you'll have to buy it if you're first generation. It just won't support it. So I hope that continues. That's a nice gesture on Apple. It was kind of cheesy to make people pay those upgrade fees.
Yeah, they said the upgrade fees were actually based because of an accounting issue.
Exactly.
Because the iPod Touch isn't a subscription-based model device, they had to actually charge for the firmware upgrade, which, I mean, yes, it's necessary, but it's nice to have that free upgrade.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on here. I think we pretty much covered most of the issues we wanted to talk about. Like we said, this is a special iPhone 4 episode of the iPhone podcast. We are just super excited about the announcement today, and we couldn't not talk about it. So that's why we're here today.
I would just add there, I think there's two little things we might have either glossed over or we didn't mention yet, is the new phone actually has a significantly better battery that's going to add about 40% of talk time. So I think that's definitely going to be welcome. And there's also two microphones now that are going to help with noise canceling when you're on a video call. So again, that's a minor little thing, but will probably be pretty useful and work well.
Yeah, completely agree. They did mention that talk time on the new iPhone 4, you can now get up to 7 hours on 3G. Standby time is now 300 hours. Internet use is up to 6 hours on 3G or 10 hours on Wi-Fi. And you can get up to 10 hours of video playback or 40 hours of audio playback. If you've seen the X-rays, I mean, the battery now takes up a large chunk of the phone. So they definitely have improved the battery life on this iPhone,
which a lot of people complain about, so it'll be a welcome thing. I'm able to manage my battery pretty well, but that's going to be a welcome addition for most people, I think.
Yeah. So other than that, about what we talked about, is there anything else you want to add to our special WWDC episode of the iPhone podcast?
We're going to maybe talk briefly about this whole Apple versus Google thing, and I'll sum up my feelings on the subject. I still would be using an iPhone 3GS right now, even if there was no new iPhone. I still think it's better than any of the Android phones. I like the operating system better. I like the actual feel of the hardware and the build quality better. But some of the tech specs were starting to lag behind. But I think with what Apple announced today, unless you're just an anti-Apple person, I think they're right back in the lead for the best phone out there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The new iPhone 4 does have the A4 chip that is in the iPad, and we know that is a very powerful chip. I think what it comes down to is, it's about what you want to do. I mean, a lot of people out there, they love being able to customize and tinker with their devices. If that's what you like to do, then Android OS, you're going to love it. But for me, I mean, I've had my time tinkering with, my old devices, my PCs, etc. But now I just need something that works. I mean, yes, Apple makes it easy. They make it simple. And for someone like me who doesn't have the time to customize and tinker, I mean, I welcome the features that Apple likes to implement. Yes, I do have gripes, but at the end of the day, I wouldn't give up anything for my iPhone 3GS.
Totally agree.
Okay. With that being said, Justin, thank you once again to everyone for listening to the iPhone podcast. We've had an immense response from the iPhone community out there. People have been listening. They've been sending us emails, been commenting, even on Twitter. We are one of the top podcasts in iTunes, in technology, and even overall. So that's been great. Also, thanks again to our sponsors, Blue Microphones, for sponsoring this podcast. As you can hear from this amazing call, Clarity, their microphones are awesome, and I really do love it. So thanks again for sponsoring our mic. Justin, any last words?
Also remember, we still have that deal with Audible, so you can try Audible free for a month. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/iPhone podcast. And like Gary said, I want to thank everybody for all the feedback, for making us one of the top podcasts on iTunes. We'll be back later this week with the regular episode with the app reviews. And again, just keep hitting us on Twitter, leave comments on the blog, email me, justin@theiphonepodcast.com with ideas. We're having a lot of fun and we want to make this podcast the best it can be. So if you have ideas, let us know and we'll implement them. We really want to make it all about you guys and what you want to hear. So thanks again and we'll be back soon.
Exactly. Thanks again, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you on our next episode.